The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, and it's starting at verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus.
You come all the way out again and be a little kid. So this time of year, we get to do stuff we normally wouldn't do. How many of you just think are going to wake up really early on Christmas morning? Yeah, see, some of the grown-ups are already into it. How many of you do you think won't be able to get to sleep on Christmas Eve? How many of you have already been under your tree and been feeling the presents and seeing who's getting the biggest one and who's getting the best one and who's getting the one the shape of an apple something or other? Okay, how many of you will be playing rugby at 3 o'clock in the morning on the landing in your house? Okay, maybe that was just me. It was a long time ago, I don't do that one anymore. But this year I've realised something. I've finally realised something and it's finally happened. This year I'm going to have to admit, I'm getting old. I know that's a huge shock to some of you. Surely not, you're saying. You don't look anything like you could possibly be getting old. But it's true. And what is it that's made me come to the conclusion that I'm getting old? Is it the fact that every time I play golf, the next day I can hardly walk? No, it's not that. Is it the fact, and get this, the kids who graduated from university this year were born in the same year that I did my A-levels? Now that's frightening. No, it's just this. I've started listening to Radio 2. I've finally realised I'm getting old because I've started listening to Radio 2. I've got their text number in my phone and I couldn't even tell you anymore what frequency Radio 1 is on. Now kids, frequency is a number you have to remember and turn the dial on your radio before you had all these flashy buttons to press everything. And it's not just that I listen to them. It's also the fact that when I listen to them, it seems to be all the same presenters who were on Radio 1 when I was a kid. So I hear Steve Wright and his posse in the afternoon. We've got, what's his name, Janice Long is still on there. Mark from Mark and Lard fame. And of course, Simon Mayo. And I think the step from Radio 1 to Radio 2 is one of those momentous times in life. Especially when the DJ seems to be moving with you. And on the way home from work every day, I get to listen to Simon Mayo. And he has this feature on his show every day where he asks people to sum up what's happened in their day in 3 words. So people text in and ring in and explain what's happened in 3 words and only 3 words. And some of the Christmas ones have been brilliant. So this week I heard mince pie overload, Christmas lights broken, and my favourite one from this week, turkey farm quiet. People's creativity in being able to sum up a whole situation in 3 words is brilliant. But this morning, we're going to go one better. We're not just going to sum up a day in 3 words. We are going to sum up the whole of Christmas in just 3 words. And thankfully, No one's going to have to be creative or do some brain work on it, because we've already heard it. We've already had the words read to us this morning. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you had to sum up Christmas in three words, there it is. God with us. It's not about the turkey. It's not about family or holiday or even the presents. All those things are wonderful things to have at Christmas time. It's about God with us. Or if you want to put it into one word, it's about presence. You see, in order to be able to really grasp what Christmas is about, you have to look at the big picture. You have to put it in its context. So we have to go back to the very beginning of the Bible, not just look at the events of those of 2,000 years ago. So briefly this morning, what we're going to do, and my kids, I promise, I'm not going to be very long, okay? But briefly this morning, we're just going to think about what it is, that what God with us means. Let's place that stable in the context of history. So the Bible tells us that way back at the beginning, God created man. And not only did he create him, but God was always around. God was with him. His presence was there. In fact, the Bible even tells us that man walked in the garden at evening time with God. Imagine that. Strolling in the most beautiful garden there's ever been with its creator. God's presence was an everyday part of life. He was always around. But man, as those of us who know the story, thought he knew better. Man wanted to be in control. Man wanted to be his own God. And so, he went his own way. God told him what would happen if he did it, but he did it anyway. And he did the one thing that God had commanded him not to do. And he ate the fruit from that one tree, and sin entered the world. And with it, death. But there was also a more immediate consequence, an instant consequence, and that was that man no longer knew God's presence in the same way. He no longer walked in the garden with him. It's not that God turned his back on creation. No, it's the fact that man no longer experienced God's presence because of his own sin and his own rebellion. But God didn't want to leave it like that. God was not content to leave things as they were. So we're going to fast forward 3,500 years. And we find this bloke called Isaiah. He's a bit of a bizarre guy in some ways. Some strange things he said. But what he was doing was declaring God's judgment on Israel. Because they were still rebelling against God. But he keeps talking about this promised king. This king is going to come one day and be a rescuer, be a saviour. And he gives him a name, Emmanuel, which as we saw in that reading this morning, which was quoting this bloke Isaiah, means God with us. And there it is again, do you see that? It's God's presence. And then we fast forward again, another 700 years. And let's see what's happening. There's this young woman called Mary. She's still a virgin, but she's pregnant. Her fiancé, Joseph, understandably feels very aggrieved about it. His wife-to-be is expecting a baby. He knew for certain it wasn't his, so he decided, there's no way I can go through with this marriage. I'll do it quietly to save her any humiliation, but I can't go through with it. And then one night, an angel appeared to him in a dream. And this is what that angel said. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The angel's saying, don't worry, Joseph. This baby isn't the result of some illicit fling. It's God's own son, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Don't pull out of the marriage, because you have been chosen to be God's son's earthly father. Marry Mary. And when the baby comes, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call him Jesus. Why? Because he is going to save his people from their sins. And you see, there it is again. That promised king from 700 years ago with Isaiah. Born of a virgin. Coming to save his people. The longed for Messiah. God's presence was back. This time in the form of a baby boy. In a stinking stable. In a backwater town in Israel. God with us. Here it is, at last. God's plan in full flow. Really? God's plan in full flow to buy back man was a baby in an animal feeder. It's not much of a plan, is it? But I think too often we leave the story there. We leave the story with a cute baby in a manger, with the shepherds and their sheep stood on one side, three blokes in funny hats and glitzy boxes on the other side, and mum and dad beaming with joy at their newborn baby. But you can't leave it there, because this was just the start of the plan. To fully understand why the shepherds, why the wise men were there, why they came to worship that baby, we have to go on the move again. This time we're going to travel 6 miles south, 33 years into the future. And that journey takes us from the first Christmas to the first Easter. We're going to go from a wooden stall to a wooden cross. We're going to go from Jesus being worshipped to Jesus being hated. Do you remember what the angel said to Joseph in that dream? You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And Calvary, on that cross, 33 years later, is where that rescue took place. See, the cross, again, is about God's presence. But in a very, very different way. Those of you who know the Easter story will know that whilst on the cross, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? See, Jesus had known the presence of his Father since eternity. And on the cross, for the first time ever, he was separated from him, and that presence was no more. Jesus went to that cross willingly. He went to that cross knowing what was going to happen. And he went to that cross for you and for me. He suffered God's presence being withdrawn from him so that we again could know it for ourselves. And why did he do it? The Bible tells us quite simply. He did it for you. He did it for me. Because he loves you. And he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, God wanted you and me to know his presence again. But he had to deal with that rebellion that's in our hearts first. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to take the punishment that our rebellion deserves. So that we might again know God's presence. And not just now. Not in a physical sense now. But in our hearts and in eternity. He did it so that we may be saved from our sins. So, what's Christmas all about? In three words, God with us. In one word, it's about presence. Christmas is all about God giving us his presence once again.